Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One thing I realized in accepting the invitation to come and present the message is that reading of the text is probably going to be longer than preaching of the text. As I was looking at the text, I had to decide how was I going to present it, Noah and the ark. What is there to say? The text itself speaks for itself, but we also, maybe in our memories, remember our childhood Sunday school stories of Noah and the ark. Or perhaps, just perhaps, we remember that great theologian, Bill Cosby. With him, his routine with God, I know some of you do because I heard the chuckles, where God is talking to Noah, and Noah goes, right, what's an ark? But serious, what do we know about Noah? Well, we know he was 500 years old when his sons were born. We know that he was from the line of Seth, the 10th generation from Adam. The 10th generation from Adam. But what can we derive from this text? What more can we see about Noah and the flood? We can look in the New Testament and see in 1 Peter 3:20, where it says, "Who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built? In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you." Or in 2 Peter 2:5, "If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others." But as I looked at the text, I thought there was more. There had to be more to look at Noah and the flood, or Noah and the ark. And then it came to me. Probably should have came to me to start with. Why not look at the character, the personality of Noah? Of course, being the advisor on personal growth, it almost became natural to look at his personality. But I said there's more to it than just that. That we perhaps need to look at his personality, his character, in relationship to Jesus Christ. And we've had character sermons over the past 2 weeks. We looked at Daniel and Darius. Monday, we looked at the Apostle Matthew. Today, Noah in relationship to Christ. The more I studied the text, the more it became clear to me, as it is perhaps clear to all of us, that Noah is a type of Christ. A savior of mankind. Yet there's something missing. Something that's not missing. I think it'll become clear to us as I compare the character of Noah and Jesus. We can look at the text and say, what does the text tell us about Noah? I'm not going to read it all because, again, it was just read to us. But we see that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. In verse 8, we see that Noah walked with God. And of course, we see all throughout our text that Noah obeyed God. We can say the same, of course, for Jesus. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." He walked with God. Of course, we could say, well, he was God. Of course he walked with God. But when he said, "I must be about my Father's business," shows us that. And Jesus followed God's instruction. "I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it." Oh, perhaps I should back up a minute. They both had to work with wood. Carpenters. But as I did this comparison, I said there's something similar but different between Noah and Jesus. So I thought, well, let's look at their personalities. And in looking at personalities and kind of look at Noah with Myers-Briggs, I said, well, let's look at this. What does Noah say about, or what does Myers-Briggs say about Noah? And I said, well, I think Noah would be an ISFJ. And those who have never dealt with Myers-Briggs, I just went right over your head. Introverted, sensing, feeling, judging person. Let me explain just a little bit more. This type of personality is quiet. Let's see if this fits for Noah. Quiet, friendly, responsible, conscientious, committed and steady in meeting their obligations, thorough, painstakingly and accurate, loyal, considerate, notice and remember specifics about people who are important to them, concerned with how others feel. Strive to create an orderly and harmonious environment at work and at home. This personality gets their energy from being alone. That being with crowds, it kind of drains their energy. This personality likes to collect all the data they can by using all their senses, the sight, hearing, smell. This personality also, when they make decisions from their heart. That's the feeling part of this personality. Wanting to accommodate everyone. And the judging, well, being judgmental about the world around them. Now, if we looked at Noah and we said, well, sure he was a loner. I mean, he didn't go out and recruit everybody in the world to help him build this ark. Not that they would anyway. Sure, he used his senses. We see where he sent the birds out. We see that before the ark was open, he used the sense of sight and hearing and smell to make sure it was safe. Judgmental. We are told that he's a righteous preacher. That he was telling the world, repent. If you want to say repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Save yourselves. But they wouldn't listen. He probably felt bad that God was going to destroy the earth, but he knew he must obey and only take his family and the animals into the ark. Now looking at Jesus and his humanity or his human personality. He, of course, traveled with a small group of men. Oh, sure, others followed. But for the most part, he dealt with small groups. Oh, he dealt with large ones too. Feeding of the 5,000 and many other times. But if you notice, we're told that right after that happens, he goes to be alone, to pray. Or he goes off to be by himself. We see that he uses all of the senses when he teaches in his parables and when he collects all the data that's around him. We see that also that when he makes decisions, it's from the heart. He doesn't want anyone to be offended. Wants to accommodate everyone. Now, we could say there's an exception to the rule, and that's the religious leaders. You den of vipers, he says. So they're similar. But I see that even in the similarity, there's a difference. Something is still missing from Noah to Jesus. With that comparison, I kept asking myself, if Noah was indeed the Savior of the world at that time, why did Jesus have to come? Simple question. And perhaps a question maybe some of our parishioners will ask. Maybe a question one of our little parishioners will ask us. There's the difference. The answer becomes very, very clear to us. For even in the comparison of character, there is one striking difference between Noah and Jesus. Noah's salvation was a physical one, saving mankind and all living things from total destruction because of the sinful state of the world. Jesus' salvation is more than just physical, it's spiritual. Saving mankind from total eternal damnation because of the sinful nature that still lives in the world and mankind. The one difference we see is that Noah, as we would say, was only human. This is the difference, that it is the divinity of Christ that makes his salvation the ultimate salvation of mankind. Whereas indeed Jesus was not only born of the Virgin, not only having a human personality, but he was indeed God of God, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, having a divine personality. This is where the comparison stops. Jesus, being God, was sinless and took upon himself our sins. Isaiah 53:6. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. What does this text say to us today? That is, besides the fact that we can see Christ's future redemptive work in the flood, that we can see the symbolism that Peter points to between the flood and baptism, we can say, thanks be to God. That his plan was not just to save mankind physically through Noah, but that his ultimate plan was to save us spiritually through Jesus Christ.